We begin the current daven Sechtes. We begin on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues by quoting a Braisa. This is continuing on the theme of the previous daven and the previous Mishnah, which are discussing this topic of what's called Tainus Besulim. When the husband got married, under the assumption that the woman she was marrying was a Besula, and turns out that he doesn't find Besulim, or he claims there's no Besulim. So on that, the Gemara continues with the following Braisa. Turn up on the Braisa. Kanasa Rishon L'Shum Nisuin. If she had been previously married, she went to the chuppah with a first man, with the intention of it being Nisuin. Now, V'yesh lo Eidim Shlei Nistra, but there are witnesses that say that she was never secluded with that first man that she was married to. In other words, it's never possible that she had Bia to not be a Besula anymore. Or Inami Nistra, even if there were witnesses that said that she was secluded with him, but v'lei shasa k'dei bia, that she was not secluded for the amount of time that she could go ahead and have had bia. Now, that's the chiddush that the Bryce is coming to teach us, that in spite of that, even though there is these two versions of what the witnesses are saying, ein hashem neyochel litin tainus besulim. The second man that she gets married to now cannot come with a claim of saying, wait a second, I thought you were a besula, and now I find that you don't have besulim, and therefore, it was a mekach tois. It was a mistaken acquisition, this, that I married you, because I thought I was marrying a besula. Turns out you're not a besula, and therefore I'm not giving you a ksuba at all. And that the bride says, no, he cannot come with such a claim, because shari kenas l'rishon, because the first man had married, had done nisuin with her, and he should have known that she had bia. And that is the chiddush of the bride said, although there are witnesses that verified that said, wait a second, yeah, she got married. There was a chuppah, there was nisuin, but we can testify that they were never secluded, or even if they were secluded, never with the amount of time they could have had bia. It doesn't make a difference. There is a chazaka that gets shifted when there's marriage, and witnesses cannot undo that. And although that they're testifying, and he thought that was his assumption, that she's still a basula, doesn't make a difference. We already shifted gears from being a basula to a ba'ula, and therefore she doesn't get masayim, but she doesn't lose her whole ksuba. She will still get half of that. She'll get a mana like every ba'ula. Now we're continuing on top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where Amar Rabba says, so Zayse Meres, what you could conclude from this Braisa is that if Kenasa Becheskes Besula, if let's say a man marries a woman under the assumption that more than just the assumption, that there was a chazaka, there was a presumptive state that the woman was in, where in this case is that she was a Besula, because we know when she married the first man, she was a Besula. Now, even with this first man, we have witnesses testifying that she never had bia with him. So there's a chazaka that she's still a besula. And yet, v'nimtzes ba'ula, turns out, he finds out after he consummates the relation that she's a ba'ula, that obviously, yesh la ksuba mana, that still the woman gets a ksuba of a mana. Because this case is the same thing, where there was a chazaka that she was a besula. Because he's relying on the witnesses who said that she's obviously still a besula. And yet still we said in the Braisa that he cannot make her lose the mana that's fit for an almana from Nisun, and he cannot claim that it was a mekach tois. So therefore you could conclude that in any situation where a person thinks that a woman is a besula, turns out she's not, okay, so you're not going to have to pay the masayim, but you'll still have to give a mana. We don't consider that a mekach tois, because you want to marry this woman. She's just not exactly as you had imagined, so you don't give the besula, but you'll give the value of a kesubah to a ba'ula. Now, that Rav Ashi Amai says no. Ba'ama la'olam emalacha les lakal. Truthfully, I'll tell you, Rabbi, that in a regular case where someone thinks he's acquiring one thing and it turns out it's not what he imagined that to be, so, and especially if that was the chazaka, so then it's a mekach tois and it doesn't give any ksuba. There's no marriage over here because it was a mistake and I thought I'm getting besula and he got a bula. But v'shani ha'cha, the case of the Bryce is definitely shari kunasa rishin, because the first man had married her. Now, although that there are witnesses testifying that, but what do you mean the first one married her? But she never had bia, it doesn't make a difference. As we explained before, that gets shifted to a different chazaka from besula to be'ula. And although there's witnesses, it doesn't make a difference. Therefore, that's not considered mekach tois. But when it would be mekach tois, when there's a presumptive state of a besula, it turns out she's a be'ula, what no one had known about, which who knows how she became a be'ula, that would be considered a mekach tois and she wouldn't get anything. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, and as Rashi explains, the Gemara's question is going back on the Braisa itself. The Braisa said, "Ein hashen neyochel litin tainus besulim." The second man that she got married to cannot come with a claim of besulim. As we explained, because he should have known that, although there's witnesses, but once she got chuppah, she got married, that's it. She's no more with Acheskes Basuli. You should have known that. Now, but the problem with that is that, so when this husband, who he thought this was the case, but after he consummates relationship, turns out she's a ba'ula, and he looks up in the sefer, he looks up the halacha, and the halacha tells him that you can't. There's no tainus basulim over here. Now the problem with that is, so he's not going to get up the next morning and go to Bezdin. Now, therefore, it won't be clarifying the possibility that she was mezana during their whole 12-month engagement. And the problem the Gemara asks is, v'neichesh ha'metacht mezinsa. We have to be concerned that maybe she's forbidden to him. You're right. For monetary law, there's nothing you can claim for the mekach tois. You have to give her a ksuba. Again, not 200, but 100, because that chazaka shifted to the chazaka of once she had chuppah, she's a ba'ula. But the problem is that especially the witnesses are saying that she never cohabited with, never had time even to cohabit with the first man. Now, so when exactly did she become this ba'ula, which obviously now that it's consummating the relationship, turns out she's a ba'ula. Maybe during the 12-month engagement, she was mezana. And that's always a concern, as we started this mesechta with, where we make the wedding on Wednesday because he should come up the next day and find to Bezdin and say, wait a second, I didn't find Basulim. And then other people will find out and say, yes, we know that she was mezana. And he needs to know that, because if she was mezana during the 12-month engagement, that was considered an ashes ish, and then she's forbidden to the Baal and to the Baal. Now, if we're going to say, in the time this Basul Klal, she's not even going to come to Bezdin. If it's not going to come to Bezdin, we might be running into this problem. Now, Rashi points out that although in the previous daf, we said that regarding certain cases when it's he marries her with the chazaka that she's a basula, similar to this case, turns out she's ba'ula, and we said it doesn't make a difference, she still gets her ksuba. There Rashi says we wouldn't ask the same question the Gemara is asking here, because there, the cases are where it's because it comes to Bezdin, and then witnesses say, you're right, she's a ba'ula, but we know she's mezana beforehand. So okay, so she'll still get her ksuba, she'll get a mana instead of masayim, but it's only because it gets verified in the court. But here, where we're talking about a case of when the first one had married her by having chuppah, but we say to him, Einu yochel litin, you can't make such a claim, so he's not going to come to Bezdin, and if he's not going to come to Bezdin, so then we're going to be running into problems of not of monetary law, but of iser, she might be forbidden to him. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's definitely a good question. So Amar of Shiravi, he says, Kugoyin Shekidish Ubal La'altar. The Brice is talking about a case where the second man did it the way we do it today's time, not as it was common Talmudic times that they would make Kedushin and then 12 months later have Nisuin. He went and wrote, the second after he gave the ring, he went and did Nisuin, he did the Chuppah, where there was no time that she could have gone between the Kedushin and Nisuin and had Bia. So obviously that she was not Mezana Tachtav. But you're right, if it wasn't as in Talmudic times, we would have that concern that we wouldn't say in Yechel Litin, we would want him to come to Bezdin, because although she would be getting her ksuba, but however, we would want him just because maybe she's forbidden to. Negedim Asin La'ala, those that learned this conversation we just had in the Gemara of Rabba and Ravashi, and then Rav Shiravi resolving that last question, Amasnit. Actually going on our previous Mishnah from the previous staff, but not on this price. Our Mishnah said, regarding a Basula, a woman that's a virgin, even though she's not mana, a grusha, or a chalutza, whether she was widowed or divorced or had chalitza min hanisuin, although she was married, but she's still was still a besula. On that, the halacha is, in spite of that, kesubasan mana. The ksuba will still be a mana, and ve'elan times besum, there's no claim of besula. Now the question is, obviously, how do we understand this case? Besula min hanisuin heichim eshkachas, how do you have a woman that's a besula from nisuin? Generally, nisuin is the consummate relationship. She becomes a ba'ula. What does this mean that she's a besula? So it would be talking about, in other words, that what do we mean she's a besula, but there's no tainus besulam, and that is she's only getting a ksuba of a mana, is because the husband, he went and married her after she had only had chuppah with the first husband and never had bia, meaning the chasin died the moment after chuppah. So they never had time for Bia, but she had Nisuin. And then she became an Almana. So on that, the Mishnah is telling us that although she's definitely seems like a Basula, doesn't make a difference, her Ksuba is only a Mana. And in more than that, the other way is that if he comes and claims, I thought you were Basula, everyone knew, they read the Ksuba that you're a Basula, and then your husband died right away, and then I'm marrying you, obviously I was assuming that you're a Basula. In spite of that, we say that no, that once that shift happens, that the halacha is going to be that there's no tainus bisul. No. That's the case of the Mishnah. Amar Rabba, and that Rabba said, Zaysa Meres, what you conclude from our Mishnah, that where they tell him, Ein lo tainus bisulim, you don't have a claim of bisulim. Well, obviously, then the halacha is kenasa b'cheskes bisula. Whenever a man marries a woman, under the presumption that she's a basula, the nimtzes bula, turns out he's wrong, she's not a basula. Somewhere along the road when she was still unmarried, she became a ba'ula. Obviously, that's not such a mekachtoyis. You cannot just say there's no marriage here. Okay, so it's just not what you expected, so you don't have to give that expectant amount of masayim, but you're going to give a ksuba of a mana. Now that, where Rav Ashi Yom, he responds, he says, no. Lo yilumim lucha ba'al mules l'kachu, I tell you, no, it's a mekachtoyis. This is not the woman that I thought I was marrying, and therefore I don't give her any ksuba. Shani hacha, shari nichnas l'chuppah. But here it's different in the case of our Mishnah, is because she went to the chuppah. And again, Rav Ashi, as we're explaining that shift, is because she went to the chuppah, that loses the chazakah of besul. Although, wait a second, there was no time, it doesn't make a difference. That's the chazakah gets changed once there's nisuin, and that's why he has to give her a ksuba and there's no time to besulim. But if there was no first husband that there was a shift with having a chuppah, then of course, if you did becheskes besula, finds that she's beula, mekech tais legamer, you don't have to give any money. Now that the question was, as we asked on the first version that was on the braisa, but we should be concerned that maybe in the time of their engagement that she was mezana, and actually it's what's called a glama dove. It seems to be like that because when else did she have bia? The first one? Yes, we know there's a lack of chazaka, but definitely there she had no time to even have bia with the first one. So the question is, why did our Mishnah say ein len tainus besulim? They don't have a claim of besulim. It sounds like that he's not going to even come to bezin then. That Amar of Shravia is Kagan Shakidish Abala Alta. Someone with the second husband did Kedushin and immediately afterwards did Bia, so there was no time in the interim for her to become forbidden to him. So it's only a monetary halacha. Monetary halacha, and the time some didn't have time to assume, as we said, because there's either because there's a shift or because, like Rava wants to say, that it doesn't make, like Rabba says, that it doesn't make a difference. Cheskes Vesula, you find Ba'ula, you don't have a Mekach Tayis there, you're not going to be able to have her not have her Ksuba at all. Now, so these are two different versions of this discussion. So now the Gemara explains as follows. Man de Masnila, the one that learns this machlikis of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, Abraisa, of the first version, well, then Kol Shekein HaMasnitin, they would definitely learn that the same discussion would apply to the Halacha of our Mishnah, and the reason is, because in the case of the Braisa, even though there were witnesses that testified that she did not have even seclusion with the first husband, and therefore, most definitely, the second man that's marries her on the presumptive state of the chazakah that she's a besula, and still Rav Ashi responded to Rabba, according to the first version that's going in the Braisa, that no, there's no riot to what you want to say, that if someone marries a woman with a chazakah besula, and it turns out she's a beula, that she has a ksuba, because here it's different, because she had been married to the first man. Now, most definitely, that same discussion would apply to the case of our Mishnah, where there were no witnesses that guaranteed that they were never secluded, that you could learn the halacha of Rab, but to say, but still there's a chazaka, and still it was wrong, still he doesn't have a chance to pursue him. So in any case, it would be the same. And similarly, you could have for sure what Rav Ashi responded, because if he says it, even when witnesses testify that it doesn't make a difference, that still you don't have a chance to pursue him, all the more so in the case of Mishnah, where it wasn't that witnesses testified to it. However, the Gemara says, Uman de Mastila, but the one that learns the version of the discussion of Rabbi and Vashi Amasnitin on our Mishnah, Avol HaBraisaloi. But that version would not learn that discussion on the case of the Braisa. And the reason is because, according to the case of the Braisa, most definitely Rabbi's point of Zeis HaMeris would be correct. And Rav Ashi would not have responded that here it's different because the first one had married her. And the reason is because Mishum Dematzi Amarla, because the husband could tell the wife, I was relying on witnesses. And since we learned that the second one cannot be Tainus Besulim in the Braisa, most definitely you could infer from there, like Rabbi said, that if you do a Kenisa Becheskes Besulim, turn that she's a Ula, then most definitely she would have a Ksuba. And that is because if there's witnesses that are verifying it, you can't say that there's no Tainus Besulim. Of course she's a Besula, because before she got married to him, she was a basula. And after she got married to him, she was a basula. Because witnesses verified that she was never had time for bia, and therefore, according to the version that's only on the Mishnah, it would not be going on the case of the Braisa. Because there, actually, Rav Ashi would agree to Rabba that you would see definitely this chazaka, this concept of cheskes besula and benimtzes beula, that still it's not a mekach tois. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is of the halach of tainis besula, which is when a man gets married with the presumption that the woman's a besula, it turns out he doesn't find the besula. And therefore he wants to claim that this is not either it's a mekach tois, or other halachas related to this. So the Mishnah tells us, if someone is eating by his father-in-law in the land of Judea, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, without witnesses that are watching him the whole time, so then he cannot, when he has the chasn and he consummates the relationship, he cannot come the next day and claim, wait a second, I didn't find besulim by this woman. And the reason is because he's secluded with her. That's what they used to do in Yehuda. And if he's secluded, so he loses the chazaka, because maybe he went ahead and he had beer with her and he forgot, or maybe we're, because of the chiba that they had, he went and broke the besulim in a different way, and therefore they don't have that ability to claim that the taina of besulim. Now, but the Gemara makes an inference. The Mishnah opens up by saying, the one that eats by his father in Yehuda without Edim, which means to say that he was meyachid with her, and therefore doesn't have taina of besulim. Now, machlal, the inference is, that there are places, even in Yehuda itself, where they wouldn't eat. In other words, that there wouldn't be meyachid, because it's only something, ha'oichel, the one that does this, but there are those in Yehuda that don't do this. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Shmamino, what we can infer from the Mishnah, is that Yehuda nam mekaymes yesh, that even in the land of Judea, that there are places that have different minhagim, different customs. And obviously the halachic ramifications of this would be that in a place, even in Yehuda, that their custom is not to be secluded the bride and groom, that then he could claim the day after in Bezin and say, I didn't find Besulim because it wasn't me, because I was never meyach with her, like a regular husband could do when he comes Thursday to Bezin to say, I didn't find Besulim. And as the Gemara says, Kedetanya, actually, this is like we learned in the Braisa, that obviously there were different minhagim even in Yehuda itself. As the Braisa says, Amar Yehuda, he says, brings many different minhagim that were different between Yehuda and the Galil. So Yehuda says, Yehuda b'Rishayin, originally in Yehuda, that they would seclude the bride and the groom a moment before they would go into the chuppah. And the reason would be, that he should be very familiar and comfortable with her, because soon he's going to go to the chuppah, he's going to have to consummate the relationship, and they don't even know each other. And therefore they would seclude them to be private so that they would be comfortable. Now, they didn't do this, they didn't seclude them before they had chuppah, when they're finally married. Similarly, Yehuda b'Rishayin, originally in Yehuda, ha'yimamidin lehem shnei shrish binun, they would appoint for the chasn and the kala two appointees, echad loy v'echad lo, one to be appointed for the chasn and one for the kala. And the reason of these people were k'dei l'mashmish, so that they should feel around and they should watch the entire night as a chasn v'esa kala, the groom and the bride, at the time that they're coming to the chuppah, in other words, when they're coming to consummate the relationship after they get married, that they shouldn't both be doing things that are trickery to the other one. And for example, they want to make sure, the one who's watching the chassan, that he doesn't really find, when after he has beer with the kala, he finds dam besulim, and then he'll make believe it wasn't there and make sure it gets lost. And that she shouldn't do something inappropriate, so that she's really not a besulim, but she'll bring, without him looking, already a blood-stained cloth, and she'll put it underneath her and make believe that it's from her, that she's a basula. So therefore, they would have one watching him, that he doesn't lose what really is her dam basulam, and she doesn't bring what's really not her dam basulam. Now, but one thing we see is that, obviously, in the place where they had the tushash binin, that obviously those are not places that they had yichud, because if they had already been secluded, then what's the point of having tushash binin to watch? There's no taina of basulam anyway. That proves Abaye's idea, where that even in Yehuda itself, obviously mekaymes yesh, because obviously in Yehuda we're bringing these different minhagim, the place where they had a minhag of having shrish bina, where there is tainas besulim, obviously that's not the place where they had yichid, where there's no tainas besulim. So in Yehuda they would have these two shrish bina, but in Galil they didn't have this, to have these shrish bina to be mamash mishdam. Similarly, be Yehuda be showing originally in Yehuda, they would have these two appointees that would sleep in the house where the chasna kala would be sleeping. Begalil, they wouldn't do that. Again, same idea where there's no point in having the Shoshbina to make sure nothing inappropriate is being done regarding the Tanya's Besulim, because they didn't have this idea of checking for the Tanya of Besulim. Now, the Brisa concludes, B'chol Shloi No Kiminin Gazeh, and whoever doesn't have this custom, Einu Yochalit in Tanya's Besulim, cannot come with the claim of Besulim that I didn't find that she's a Besulim, which then he would be saying that it's a Nekach Tois, and all the other claims that come with that. Now, that the Gemara's question is, so we definitely brought a proof to Abaye's idea, but ahai, this last sentence in the Brisa, what's that going on? That if he didn't have this minig, then you can't come with the claim of times besulim. Ilema Aresha, if it's going on the beginning, the first of the three minhagim that it says that in Yehuda, they would have this minig of being miyachid, well, then kol shenog mibayle. It should say that whoever does have this minig of chasen kala being secluded before they consummate the relationship, then he cannot make the tain of besulim, because maybe he himself went and took away her besulim. So it shouldn't say kol shaloi nog, it should say kol shenog. So elah seifa, so what are you going to say? It's going in the case of the seifa where they had this minig of having these attendees appointed to the chasen and to the kala. But the problem is, and that would make sense because it would say kol shaloi nog, whoever doesn't have the appointees cannot make this claim, because maybe there was something going on over here where something inappropriate was done, and therefore maybe there really was besulim. But then kol shaloi mushmish mibayle. Then it shouldn't say kol shaloi nohag, which is obviously going on the chasen, because he's the one that comes with the claim of tanis besulim. It should say kol shaloi mushmish, as Rashi explains. The one that's making the claim of tanis besulim is obviously the husband. He's saying, look, I thought she was a besula. Turns out she's not a besula. And then this is problematic. Now, the husband himself doesn't check himself to make sure he's not doing something wrong, because that's not his problem. It's the father of the bride that has to have someone appointed to him to make sure he, the chas, is not doing anything wrong, because he knows his daughter is a besula, and there should be dam besulim over there. But the chas, and he wants to make sure that he doesn't go ahead and throw it out and say, look, this is the cloth and there's nothing here. Now, the one who inspects the kala to make sure she's not doing anything wrong, to bring outside blood and make believe it's hers, that's the husband's responsibility, because he wants to make sure she's not doing anything wrong. Now, if that's the case, then how does the Brisa say that any husband, who again, it's his responsibility, that shaloi nohag, that he wasn't noihag, noig what? So we're saying it's going back on the case of the Sefer, that he wasn't noig this mishmash, this having someone appointed to make sure the responsibility that there wasn't something inappropriate done regarding the besulim, that if he didn't do this, then he cannot be tain's besulim. What does that mean? Actually, to the contrary, if he didn't do even appoint anyone regarding the kala, and they checked him, they had someone on him the whole night making sure he didn't do anything wrong, of course he can make such a claim, because it's not his responsibility to check himself. You think there's something wrong with my character. You have someone watching me to make sure I don't throw out the blood. But I have no responsibility to check the kala. To the contrary, it would be my better interest. But I'm not concerned. I don't think she's lying. But yet I claim that I don't see any dam. So therefore, what the Gemara's question is, the Brisa should have said, kol shaloi mushmish. If he wasn't checked by his father-in-law, by appointing someone to watch him, then he cannot tie in the tain's besulim, because maybe he did see and he made it lost. So the question is, saying kol shaloi nohag sounds like that, who's not nohag? Again, the subject here is the chasen, because he's the one making the claim of tain's besulim. So saying kol shaloi nohag, whoever wasn't nohag this minik, which again we're saying on the sefer of having someone appointed to make sure nothing wrong is happening with this besulim, wouldn't be an appropriate statement on the chasen, because what does that mean? Of course he can make a tain's besulim if he didn't have someone appointed to the kala, because actually that would be in his better interest. And regarding himself, you can't say on him that he wasn't noig, because that's not his responsibility, it's his father-in-law's responsibility. So what it should say is kol shaloi mushmish, if his father-in-law did not appoint someone to watch him to make sure he's not going to go ahead and really take the real tain's besulim and throw it away, then he cannot make the claim of tain's besulim, because maybe he's lying. Maybe he saw and he threw it out. So that on Abaye. So Abaye says, you're right. Can't be going in the Sefer. La'il ma'resha, really it's going back on the case of the Resha. Usnei kol shenog, you're right. And it shouldn't say kol shaloi nog. Rather, learn in the Brisa that whoever does have the minik, in Yehuda of being Meyachad Chasam Akala, and therefore maybe he went and took away the Basulim. Therefore, he himself, when he finally consummates relationship after marriage, cannot go ahead and make the claim of Basulim. But not only Rava asked Abai, but Kol Shalai No Gertani, how could you say that? But the Gears in the Brice that we have says that whoever does not have this Minik. Say, Elamai Rava, rather Rava says a different interpretation. It says, Hachikama. This is what the Brice is saying. Actually, the words of Kol Shalai Nohag is not going on the Minik, where it seems like all the Minhagim were those of Yehuda and just Galil did not have those Minhagim. It's actually going on the Minik of Galil, which is a passive Minik. The Brisa said, "By Galil lahoy oising." Galil, they didn't have these minhagim of Yehuda. Now that the Brisa says, "Kol shloy nohag minig Galil." Whoever did not have the minig of the Galil, be Galil, ella minig Yehuda be Galil. Rather, he had the minig of Yehuda, although he lived in Galil. Minig, although he was from those who lived in Galil, he had the minig of being meyachet chasam kal. He felt it was they're not comfortable with each other. They have to be private. Now, then in the Yochalid and Tanz Basulim, then you cannot come with a claim of Tanz Basulim, because by not having the minig of Galil, but rather Yehuda, and being Meyachadem, so then you cannot come with a claim of Basulim, because maybe the Chasam was the one that himself took away the Basulim of the Kal. But Rav Ashamer, he says, no, loyal ma seva, truthfully it's going on the seva, usnei, rather you should amend it, kol shaloi mushmush. You're right, it shouldn't say kol shaloi nohag. So it's a different amendment. It's not like Abai who amends it and therefore says going to Reisha, he says going in the Sefer. But amended that Kol Shalei Mushmish, if he wasn't watched by his father-in-law appointing someone to watch him, then he cannot make a claim of Tanis Basulim, because we don't know, maybe he really saw it and he threw it away, and therefore he cannot come and claim just based on his own testimony and say that she was not a Basulim. Now the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about the halachas of Kisuba. So the Mishnah says, Achas Amonis Yisrael, whether it's a widow of a Yisrael, or Va'achas Amonis Kahanim, or whether it's that the Amona is a Bas Kohen, meaning she comes from a family of Kahanim, either way, when she's getting married to a man, Kisubas Amona, the Kisuba of an Amona, of a widow, whether she's from a family of Kahanim or Yisraelim, gets of a Kisuba only of Amona, which is 100 zuz, a half of a Besula. But Bezin shel Kahanim, although we said in the previous Mishnah that a Besula would get 200, but the courts of the Kahanim, ha'yigayvin le'besula, they would collect for a Besula that's from the family of Kahanim, when she would get married to a Kohen, or even if she, or most definitely if she got married to Yisrael, they would collect the Ksuba of Arba Me'ezuz. Because a Bas Kohen, that's something very chashav, and therefore they would collect for their Ksuba 400 zuz. And the sages didn't protest and say, what are you talking about? The halach is a Basula gets only Masayim. They didn't protest that the courts of the Kahanim would enforce a Ksuba of 400 zuz. Now, Tanu learned a Braisa that says, Valmonas Kainim, not only did they inflate the Ksuba of a Basula from 200 to 400, but the Amona of from a family of Kahanim, Ksubas Masayim, her Ksuba was 200 zuz. Now, that the question is, but now we just learned our Mishnah that says, Achas Amonis Yisrael, whether the widow is from a family, Yisraelim, the Achas Amonis came with it, she's family from Kahanim, Ksubas Amana, a widow only gets a Ksuba of Amana. So Amar Vash, Vasha, Shtei Takana Saba. There actually were two levels of institutions that were made for an Amana that's a Bas Kohen. Mi Karo, originally, Tekinu Libsula Arba Mea Zuz, Ulamana Mana. As we said in our Mishnah, The courts of Kahanim went and felt a Bas Kohen is something very chashiv. Har Ksuba shouldn't be like everybody else, just 200. They went and made it to a Ksuba of 400, but they retained Amana for as it is by every Amana, which is just a Mana. Now, Ketan Tamid Beis, but however, Kivin the Chazan the Mezalzlebu, once they saw that people were treating on a lesser level the widows of from the family's Kahanim, that they didn't feel that it was a big deal to go ahead and divorce them because it was just a small amount of a ksuba, it was just a mana. So tekinu luhu masan. So then they went and made a ksuba for their widows for 200 because it was degrading for the families of Kahanim. Because although, what I mean, every Jewish widow gets only ksuba of a mana, but Kahanim are more chashuv, they're more distinguished, and it's embarrassing for them when their daughters get divorced more than a non-Kohen. And therefore, they wanted that their women, their widows, who are getting married to people, should not be easily divorced, because widowhood is not so embarrassing. But when they get divorced, that's a gnai. and they didn't want them to be so easily divorced when people were saying, oh, she's just a mana. A besula is 400. It's not an easy thing to divorce. But a mana, it was easily for them to divorce. So then they went and instituted, you know what? Even our widows, we're going to force 200. Now, but kivan the chos, the kaparsha minai. But once the courts of Kahanim saw that people were not marrying anymore the Kahanic widows, because the army, the men said, adin asvinan amanas Kahanim. You're right. A bas kain is something chashav. But instead of marrying a widow from a family of Kahanim, Nezel Nesa, Besula Bas Yisrael, will go ahead and marry a Besula from a family of Yisraelim where they were getting a Besula. So although she's not a Yisrael, but it's the same amount. They're both asking for 200 Zuz. So Adrina Lemelsaya, that's when they went back to the original amount, as our Mishnah says, of Amana. Because they said it's not worth it, because although it's easy for them to divorce, but no one's marrying them if we're going to make it 200. So although the Bryce says it was 200, that was at one point. At a later point, as our Mishnah says, they went back to the mana so that people should marry them. Now, our Mishnah said that Beznos Shel Kahanim V'chulu, the Kohanic courts enforced for their Besulais, they're from families of Kahanim, Aksuba 400 Zuz. So Amar Yehuda Mishmuli says that Loi Beznos Shel Kahanim B'Varamru, this halacha of our Mishnah was not only said for the courts of Kahanim, meaning that only if you're a family of Kahanim, then you could inflate the price of the Aksuba. Even the distinguished families that have yichus, a distinguished lineage in the Jewish people, they could also, if they want to do the way the Kahanic families did, they could do the same thing, and they could also demand a ksuba 400 instead of 200. Now, that's the Gemara's Mesri, but learn the Braisa that says, Haraita lasis kederch shekahanim oisin. If someone wants to do the way the Kahanic family does, kugain bas Yisrael ukain. Bas Kohen Yisrael, for example, let's say you're not a Bas Kohen, you're only a Bas Yisrael, but you're marrying a Kohen, or if you're a Bas Kohen but you're going to Yisrael, then you could do the same. Now the inference of the Braisa, which is what the Gemara's question is, it sounds like only Bas Yisrael a Kohen, that even though you're not a Bas Kohen but you're marrying into a Kohen, so then you could also demand, because you're entering a Kohenic family, also an inflated price, or Bas Kohen Yisrael, but it's only because who the Ikad Sat Kahuna. There has to be at least an element of kuhuna to tap into this chiddush of halacha that you could charge in your kesuba 400 zuz. Av bas Yisrael liYisrael loy, but it sounds like even if you're from the mishpachas miyachasays, if you're just a non-kohen woman marrying a non-kohen, that then you cannot charge more than the regular kesuba, which refutes what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is trying to say. Nothing more says no. Actually, lo mebayikama. What the chiddush of this brayis is saying is, know that we didn't even have to say the case of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, where then most definitely you could go ahead and charge more, because to lematzi amar la ilui kama al nelech, where the husband cannot tell the woman that I'm making you any better. He's not making any better. She was not a kain and he's not a kain, but she's coming from a chashav mishpacha, so of course she could charge 400 of a bas Yisrael the kain. But we would have thought when a bas Yisrael is marrying a kain, where he could tell her, wait a second, you can't charge me a lot. Yeah, I understand you come from a very chashav mishpacha, but I'm a kohen. I'm elevating your status from a bas Yisrael to an eishes kohen. Maybe then we would have thought to say that then, even though she's coming from a chashav mishpacha, she cannot charge more. That's the chiddush of the braisa. Even then, she could charge more because anyone could do what the kahanim do. But again, that doesn't refute what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel had said, that Abbas Yisrael, Li Yisrael, could also charge 400 zuz for the ksuba. Nothing more continues with the next series of Mishnayos, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnayos of Tainus Besulim, when the husband marries on the assumption that she's one thing, it turns out she doesn't have the Besulim. But this involves a different variable that the previous Mishnayos did not mention, which becomes the Machlekes of Rimlul and Rabbi Lazar, on one hand, and Rishu on the other hand, where he or she comes with her own claim. And the question is, who's believed? Is the woman believed, and then she gets the ksuba that she's claiming? Or is the husband believed with his claim, and therefore she doesn't get the ksuba that he's claiming she doesn't deserve? So the Mishnah begins, Hanoisya Se'isha. If someone marries a woman, Bulaimatzla Basulim, again, as the previous cases that we had been discussing, he doesn't find the Basulim. Now he marries, but she claims, Mishiristani Nen Nasti. I was a Basula when we got engaged. Now, I was violated sometime during our engagement by another man, and therefore, which is an analogy to say that, and his field got flooded, meaning I was already your field, I was already engaged to you, something happened to me, but I don't lose my ksuba of what I'm asking because it's not a mekach tayis. I was a besula, and it'll only happen afterwards. He says, no. This that you were obviously not a besula because here we consummate relation, I didn't find besulam, was even before we got engaged. And it was all mistaken acquisition. When I got engaged to you, it was under the assumption and the presumption that you were a besula. And I don't think that's the case. I think this is before we even engaged. And therefore, it's a mekach tayis. I'm not giving you any ksuba. So who's believed? Serving Mlil verbally as a Imrim Nemenis. They say that she's believed. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is going to be because of what's called Bari B'Shema Bari Adif. When there's a definite claim, and the assumption that meaning someone is a suspicion, that meaning he's claiming maybe, that then a definitive claim is better. And therefore, here where she's saying, look, this has happened with me. I know what happened. It happened after we were engaged. He's saying, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it was before. So he's saying a Shema claim. She's saying a Bari. So a Bari is definitely better because she's positive and he's maybe. So therefore, she'll be believed and therefore, we'll say it only happened afterwards. Rabbi Shua says, we don't live on the word of her mouth. Ella, rather, harizu b'cheskes b'ula. Rather, what we're finding now is the chazaka that she was a ba'ula, obviously sometime before they consummated the relationship. And therefore we would say that it's even actually tesaris, that we can claim in halacha that she had this bia even before she was engaged. And v'ta'asai, and she misled him, because she knew going into the engagement that she was really ba'ula. Ad sh'tavi ra'ilet v'ra'el, until she brings a proof to her claim that she really only happened after they were engaged, she will not be believed. The reason for this, as we'll explain the Gemara, is because why are we saying there's this chazaka that she was a ba'ula before they got engaged? Where's that chazaka coming from? It's coming from the cheskes mamon. She wants to go ahead and take money from her chassan, from her husband. He's claiming, no, this is a mekach tayis. Now, although she has a definitive claim, and he doesn't, but the presumptive state of the money is with him. She wants to do what's called being moitzi mechaveray. So Allah Harai, she has to bring the proof, and therefore the chazaka is to know that you were already ba'ula beforehand. And why? Where do we have that chazaka? We don't know anything about that. It's the chazaka of the mamon that's telling us that you want to claim. You have to prove to us that it only happened afterwards. Until you can prove that, we will assume based on the chazaka of the mamon that it's the husband's, that it happened beforehand. Says Machlekes Rabbi Gamliel Melaza, and you be sure who is believed. Is she believed? Or we say that she's not believed? Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Itmar, we learned. If someone goes to another person and tells him, Mana li biyadcha, there is money of mine that's in your hands. You have my money. Now, va'allah, imir in yadam, this person says, I don't know. Is that true? When I owe you money, I borrowed, you gave me money, I don't know. So we have machlekes. They say that the person the defendant, he has to pay. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yechon, Amri, Pater, they say no, that he's exempt. He doesn't have to pay. Now Rashi does point out, however, although he doesn't have to pay, but we require a rabbinic oath called the Shavuos Heses that he has to swear that it is like he's claiming that he doesn't know that he's liable. Because, or else that's a very convenient way out, always say, I don't know. So you have to swear that you really don't know. Because if you really do know, and you're just trying to get out of it by saying you don't know, and then you'll just be avoiding your payments. You have to swear that you don't know. But that's the machlekes if you're liable or you're exempt. So the Gemara explains the machlekes. They say that the person that's being claimed that he owes money, he has to pay up. And the reason is because Bari, the definite claim of the claimant, Vishema, and the maybe, I don't know, of the defendant, Bari Adif, definite claim is better than a not sure claim. And therefore, he has to pay. They say, no, he's exempt. Because we say that the money remains in the presumptive state of the owner of the money until we have a proof that he has to give it. So though you have a definite claim, good, you know for sure. I don't know. Bring me proof. Come with a document. Come with witnesses. Until you do that, the cheskes mamon that says this money is mine, although you're claiming it, will be mine until you prove otherwise, even though you're coming with a definite claim. That's the machlekes. Now, Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. Regarding this machlekes, Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Hadar Rav Huna Rav Yehuda, this halacha of Huna and Rav Yehuda, that said that a bari is adif, a definite claim is so strong, even to be mighty mammon, we're making this guy pay up, because one guy has a definite claim, even though he doesn't have witnesses, is Dishmul, he is going just like the halacha of Shmuel. Just not like we learned in the Mishnah on the coming daf, the Gimlam and Aleph. The Mishnah there says, which is part of these categories of Machlekes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, where Haisim Uberes, if an unwed woman, a single woman, was pregnant, V'hamrullah, Mativa Shalubazen, they said, what is this fetus? Who's this from? Which man did you conceive this child from? So she says, Me'ish plainiv a kain, it's from this and this person, and he's a kain. In other words, when she says kain, it means to say that he's meyuchis, that he has yichis, that he's a clear lineage of a pure Jew. So they say that she's believed to her claim that it wasn't with a mamzer and that her child would be a mamzer. She's believed to say that it was from a person that has yichas. Now the Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, the halacha is that the woman is nemenis for these things. Now the Amr lay Rav Shmuel by Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda. Now regarding what Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel on that Mishnah, that the halacha falls Rabbi Yehuda, that we believe her. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin a sharp one, Amrit lan mishmei dishmul, but you told us in the name of Shmuel, halacha kriyam gamliel af birishayna. Why are you telling us halacha gamliel in the Mishnah and the coming daf that we believe her regarding something just relating to her, not with her and the husband, just with her and the fetus, that we believe her who it is that she conceived from? But the halacha is even like the halacha of our Mishnah that we're discussing on daf yud beis and beis regarding her claiming her ksuba from her husband. Where, although he's claiming, wait a second, she's not a besula, she's believed when she says, you're right, but when we got engaged, I was a besula. It's just that I was violated during the time of the engagement. Now, in that, the Gemara, this is what Abayi is trying to prove from the statement of Shmuel, that is, my afpirishayna, when Rabbi Yehuda had said over the name of Shmuel, that Allah is like Rimlil, even in the first Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah, that a bari is such a strong claim, what is it meaning and where she's buried over there and she's buried over here? What is he trying to say? That even though you could say that the money of the husband, that the ksuba is in its original chazaka. Whose money is it? It's the chazaka of the Baal. And in spite of that, still, if Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, that's what they were telling Rabbi Yehuda, that you had said over the name of Shmuel, that Allah is like Gamliel, even in the first mission, meaning even of these series of these machlekes, and in our mission that we're discussing over here in this daf, that still, even though there's a cheskes moment to the husband, says, look, it's my money. I'm thinking that maybe you were already Bula before we got engaged. Prove to me that you weren't. You want my money, you have to prove it. And still, in spite of that, we say, Allah is like Gamliel, that her bari, her definite claim, saying, no, I know this happened after we were engaged, and she's believed. So therefore, what Abayi wants to say, if Shmuel says that halacha, then you could say, similarly in the discussion that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are having, that we're quoting over here, where Yosef, when someone comes to claim by his friend, says, look, money li biyadcha. Now, that person who's being claimed for money, he has a cheskes mare, he has the presumptive ownership of that money, that it's his money. And in spite of that, Amrim lil bari adif. Still, Rimulil says, in such a situation where there's a cheskes mammon, still a definite claim of a woman, like in our Mishnah, can go ahead and remove that money. So therefore, you see that Shmuel, who says that Allah has Rimulil in our Mishnah, is the same as Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, who they're saying that a bari could remove from someone's cheskes mammon. Therefore, based on this, what Abayi is trying to say, so the question that's posed is, Salema Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Huna, the Amir Krim Lil, let's say, as we just illustrated, that they hold like Krim Lil of our Mishnah, where a bari is so believed and so strong to be able to remove someone else's money, which is the same thing like Shmuel saying in our Mishnah, the Halach of Hazrim Lil, that she could remove his money through the Ksuba by having a definite claim. And he's because he's only a Shema. And let's say that Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yechanan in this machlekes of man li biyatcha says like Rabbi Yeshua that no, a definite claim is not strong enough to be mitzi from a cheskes mamon, even if the person who's being claimed says, I don't know, is a shema, where the husband here doesn't know, still, we don't limit pi on a chayin. You can't remove money based on if someone has, even though you have a definite claim, if the other person has a cheskes mamon. So let's say this machlekes marum depends on this machlekes tanaim. And the Gemara says, no. Amalchar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman would tell you that ano de amri, I who say that a bari cannot remove money from a cheskes mamon, I could even be like a Mlil who seems to be saying in our Mishnah that a bari of the woman could be removing from his from the husband's cheskes mamon. That no, because ad kan lekamer Mlil hasam. Where did we find in our Mishnah that Mlil said that her bari could remove from his cheskes mamon? That's ela de ikka migoi. That's only because she has a taina of a migoi. Now, literally, the word migoi is translated as since, which the word migoi means from within. That there's something here in her claim that will prove to us that she's saying the truth, and because of that, she wins, and we believe her. Now, the reason is because there's two claims the woman can be making in the case of our Mishnah. There's the claim which she does claim, as it's recorded in our Mishnah, that she says, you're right, you thought I was a basula, and I also would have thought I was a basula when we consummate the relationship. But I was a basula when we got engaged, and therefore the ksubi should be given me is the basula of a ksuba, and it's not a mekech toiz. It's only because Misher is standing in Asti. I was violated during the time that we were engaged. Now, there's another claim she could have made. She could have made that I was a Mukas Eitz. I never had Bia. There was never any man that I became a Ba'ula with. I was a Mukas Eitz. A piece of wood did it. And therefore, I'm the same as any regular woman. Now, so we say the following phraseology. Migui, that since she could have made a better claim. For example, let's say the case in our Mishnah, where she ends up saying, Mishra Estani Nenasti, that I was violated during the time we were engaged. She could have said a better claim of saying, I'm a Mukas Eitz. Now, the reason why that would have been a better claim is because if she says she's a Mukas Eitz, that it was just a piece of wood that destroyed her Besulim, she would not have become invalidated for marrying into the Kahuna. But now that she says, Mishra Estani Nenasti, she becomes possible to Kahuna because of this cohabitation that she had with another man at the time that she was married to her husband, where because an Eishes Yisrael that was violated, although she's permitted to her husband, that's Yisrael, actually becomes forbidden to the Kohen. Now, obviously, as Rashi says, that she's saying the truth, because if she wasn't saying the truth, she would have said a better claim, and then we would have believed her, and she wouldn't even become possible to Kuna. Similarly, regarding the Mishnah on David Gimel at Aleph, where she says, I'm a Mukas Eitz. And that Rimlil says that she's believed. What do you mean she's believed? She's believed to get a ksuba in spite of the husband. So what don't you see over there that her bari could be mitzvah cheskes mamon? No. There also she could have said a better taina, which is called a migui. She could have said, I wasn't even mukas eitz when we got engaged. It was only after we got engaged that there was an accident and a piece of wood went and dislodged and ruptured the basulim. And therefore I should get 200 zuz. Now, she ends up saying that I was a Mukas Eitz beforehand. And you're right, therefore I only get a mana. But that is considered a miga that she could have said a better claim. You could have said a better claim. Must be saying the truth. And that's why Remulil says that, yes, although there's no witnesses, there's no documentation here, but if she's coming with a definite claim, with a migui that she could have said a better claim and she's not, must be she's telling the truth, and that's why she could be Meitzi Mecheskes Mamon. But this is what Reb Nachman concludes, and he says, Avol Hacham, but over here in the case that I'm arguing with Rev Huna, regarding when someone claims to someone else, Mani Libi Yadcha, my Migui Ika, what type of a Migui is there that we could have believed him? There's no Migui. What could I have said? I'm saying that you owe me money. What could I have made up that I would have been believed and would have been even a bigger time? You don't have. And therefore, even Emily would agree to me that we would say that that the money stays with the chazakah, the presumption of who the owner is, and just coming with a definite claim would not be able to get you to have the person give you money, even though he's a shema, because you don't have the additional support of a migui. Or Inami, another approach Rav Nachman says to say that how he could even be like Emily, and that is because ad kan lekamer Emily hasam, the case of Emily of our Mishnah that he says that we believe her. That's El Damrin Ukma Chazaka, because yes, he has a Cheskes Mamon, but she also has a Chazaka. Meaning, we're in doubt, as the case of the Mishnah is, regarding the time of that they got engaged. Was she a besula at that moment and therefore he was indebted to her 200 zuz? Or was she a ba'ula at the time? And therefore it should be either a mekachtais or only one mana. So we say that the woman retains her chazak in her own body. Now how was she born? She was born the besula. And therefore we say the chazak is up until we know otherwise, we assume that she was still a besula. So therefore, at the moment of engagement, what would we say in halacha? We would say, okay, the chazaka tells us, presumptive state tells us that you were still a basula, and it's only, now, although we see at the time of Nisuin that you're not, okay, but that as far back as we can go, not by engagement, because then the chazaka tells us she was basula, must be that she was violated at a later point in time, after she was engaged, but that's because she has a physical chazaka in her body. And so that could counter, together with the fact that she's a bari, and she has a cheskes in her guf, so although he has a cheskes mamon, that will be enough, Rimli will hold, to remove from his money to get the kesuba. Aval hach, but Rav Nachman says, but in the case I'm discussing with Rav Huna, my chazaka is lilahai. What type of chazaka does the claimant have to say that, oh, there's a chazaka that you have a right to collect money? What type of chazaka? No one knows anything about this at all, that this guy has your money. And therefore, there's only one chazaka, the cheskes mamon, that the person has. Your tain of bari cannot remove from his cheskes mamon. And therefore, those are two reasons where Rav Nachman says the case of Rav Gamliel could be different. And therefore, even Rav Gamliel would agree that generally a tain of bari would not be able to remove from a cheskes mamon. It's either here in our Mishnah that he holds that he could, either because she has a chazak in her body that she's a basula, or because she has a tain of miga. I could have said a better claim, and I didn't. I must be, I'm telling the truth. So the Gemara concludes, Hachaname Mestaber could the Kamashaninan. It actually makes more sense the way we're resolving this, that Rav Nachman Hu Adamak Rav Gamliel, that Rav Nachman actually could even be like Rav Gamliel. As we continue on top of Yigilma and Alf, and the reason is because the Imkain. Because if it would be as we had assumed in the question, that Rav Nachman's not like Rav Gamliel, but rather like Rabbi Shua, who both of them would agree that a bari cannot remove money from a cheskes mamon, well then Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa, we would have a contradiction in our general conceptualizations of who the halacha follows. Because the Kaima law in Hilchas Rav Nachman Bedini, we always take a general rule that halacha follows Rav Nachman regarding monetary law, which is the case over here regarding when someone tells a person mana li biyadcha regarding removing a cheskes mamon with a tain of bari, that he says that you cannot remove it with a tain of bari. But in the case of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, as we quoted before, has says halacha gemlil even berishayin, the halacha is like gemlil even in the first case, meaning that you could remove the cheskes mamon. You could collect the ksuba with a tain of bari. So that seems contradictory. Rather, we have to resolve, as we had said, that no, it doesn't contradict Rav Nachman. A tain of bari by its own standing cannot remove from a cheskes mamon. The case of a mishnah is different, either because the woman has a chazaka in her body that she was a besula at the time of engagement, or because she has a claim of migui, and that's why the halacha will be that you could go ahead and collect the ksuba. But generally, Rav Gamliel would agree to Rav Nachman that a bari would not be able to remove from a cheskes mamon, shmamina. Obviously, it's like we had resolved so that we could resolve the hilchasa of the halacha follows Rav Nachman at the same time that it follows Rav Gamliel of our Mishnah.